Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
What's poppin', congregation? We're back with another installment of Scam Goddess with me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. And y'all, I am very what? Yes, excited, truly elated. What a scam to get this icon on this show today. He's an award-winning podcast host and journalist. Our first journalist on the show, because I told you I ain't no damn journalist. He has two new culture podcasts, Intuit on Vulture and Vibe Check on Stitcher, out now. Congregation, please welcome Sam Sanders to the show.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Oh, wow. Amen.
Listen.
Sam, congregation,
we come before you, Father God.
Father God, on this good day, we come before you, first of all, to say thanks.
That's right.
but also, Brother Sanders here.
Yes.
Is a real live bona fide journalist.
Well, at my heart, though, always a church kid. And I hear that we're talking church today, so my soul is ready.
I am too. I was raised in the church.
What kind of church were you raised in?
Missionary Baptist.
Okay. See, I was that crazy Pentecostal apostolic.
Oh, okay. Did you have to put some shoes in people's faces sometimes?
Uh-huh. We no worldly music, no dances, no movies, no jewelry, no makeup. The women could not wear pants, mm-hmm. only long skirts.
Now, we couldn't do that either. We couldn't wear pants.
Okay. But yeah, it was like I had to beg to go to high school prom.
Now,
my mom was like, why do you need that?
What was the excuse of not being able to go to high school?
It's like, best of the world.
Satan is out there promenading on people's souls.
Basically. Dancing to that devil music.
Mm.
Making babies. Mm. All that.
I mean, some of it was devil music.
Yeah, but it sounded so good. It sounded so good.
That's so true. I mean, okay, so wait. We always ask people, Sam, like, what is like your relationship with scams? Do you like them? Do you hate them? Do you feel like you were born in one?
Oh, I grew up in the church, so I grew up in a space that could easily be scammerific.
Love that word.
But I had to find the portions of belief and religion in church that weren't scammy. And I was lucky. I think like my church was extreme, but like at its core, it was good people doing good things.
Right.
There's a lot of church folk that aren't in it for the right reasons. So that is, I mean, church is a scam writ large.
That's one of the wild
things. I grew
up in
a part of church that wasn't too scammy. Thank the Lord.
I agree with you there. Because
right?
like people who enjoy church, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a scammer.
Yeah.
But the institution of church
can be scammy.
Can be very scammy, as can the Bible. Because you can read the Bible and be like, oh, it was all about taking care of the others that you love. Or it could be like, oh, there is a chapter in here saying we could sell our daughter for this mule. Anybody?
Yeah.
So it's like you could be a good person or a bad person and get something from the Holy Book.
Exactly. And I was blessed and lucky to have folks who were like, in it for the right reasons, even if they were kind of caught out there. Like, you think back on some of the rules we had to do. Like, some of the rules are just like, who cares?
Somebody petty. That's what happens when you let everybody be involved in the pitching session. You know what I mean? I feel like the Bible is that one day a year that Jesus was like, all right, no idea is a bad idea.
Yeah. Everybody, come on in. Peter,
everybody,
John, Mary, what you got? Give us some lines.
What are the things we should be making people do?
Yeah. Well, because it's like, I love the Bible as a piece of literature, but it is the most logically confused document ever created.
Of course. It's a Wikipedia where no one did the edits.
No one did the edits.
Everybody was just like, nah, I got my chapter.
Yeah. Then my favorite fun fact is, because we grew up with that strict King James version of the Bible. King James was fruity as he could be.
Yes. He loved mess. He loved mess.
And just gay. So I love to think back on all of the lectures and sermons I got on sexuality from the King James version of the Bible, knowing good and well that man loved some D. It's funny. Anywho.
I mean, who's going to leave behind our Bible? Somebody has to, like, I just want it to still be the Bible, but, like, just remix the little bit.
Yeah. I'm down for that. Who would be in charge of writing it?
Okay, this is not... Okay.
We're off
change
topic now, but
no
I like it.
Stories. Exactly. We'll get there. Change absolutely none of the stories in the Bible. Except update all the language to AAV.
Listen, I want Toni Morrison to give us literally the Song of Solomon. Like, I know she's gone, but bring her back for a Bible remix.
Hey, y'all know him as Peter, but that's just his stage name. Y'all know that his name's Saul, right? Y'all
that boy,
know?
Pete. That's what I want. That's what
I didn't even know. That's his rapper name. Y'all didn't even know that? Wow. Anyways, before we get into our first topic here, we do like to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements. So we're gonna do that right now. Scams! Ooh, do you feel that in the air? Yes, that is summertime. It's in the breeze. It's in the trees. And y'all know when the sky comes out, the thighs come out. And as the weather gets hotter, it's time to say bye to jackets and sweaters and hey to shorts and tees. If you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. Y'all know I love Quince. If you want to be looking chic year after year with classic pieces that you can dress up, dress down, wear around town, you got to get into Quince. They have premium European linen dresses. I have one in green, and oh, when I wear it, it is a showstopper. Blouses, shorts from $30, y'all. Washable silk tops, which I told y'all I love those. I actually went back and got it in navy. I got it in the white, like cream, and I just know when I wear it, I'm going to feel like Diane Keaton on the beach thinking about my life. Like white cream, are you kidding me? It's giving rich, okay? Quince is that girl. Y'all know you see me in their pieces all the time. Get into it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goddess. Finding the perfect t-shirt has always had me like Goldilocks, trying on shirts. This one's too hard. This one's too soft. And it fell apart because y'all know I got it from a cheap website. And this t-shirt from Skims is just right. From fit to quality, it is one of my, like, these are my favorite t-shirts. I have three different ones. Y'all know I love me an Onyx because I'm going to be wearing black all the time. They have a cotton long sleeve jersey tee that I really like too because the material is so soft. But when I put it in the washer, she don't have a whole transformation or makeover. It's not move that bust when I take it out. She looks the way that she looked when I put her in. And we know we cannot say that for all t-shirts, okay? So you can have staple t-shirts that you can mix and match and wear up or down. Maybe we're going to a fancy night out. Maybe we're going on a date. Maybe we're lounging around the house. I love these shirts so much because I can do so many different things with them. It's like, I'm telling y'all, Skims, they doing it right over there. I got on the underwear right now. I can't give it up. I think they got me, y'all. I'm not even playing. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select Scam Goddess in the survey and select My Show in the drop-down menu that follows. Cunt! And we are back, and it's time for my favorite episode. Part of this episode. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Say it yourselves. Oh, I love our parasocial relationship. It's getting really great, right? I've never given you COVID. I'm the one person in your life who could never give you COVID. Isn't that crazy?
And that's love.
And you put me all up on your ear. Some of y'all are nasty. I love that for us. But guys, we're just talking about what's hot in fraud. This is where we warn our listeners about fraudsters in the streets or news scams that are popping in the zeitgeist. Or more often than not, we get a letter from you guys. So as always, snitch on your friends and family at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure your scam is retired because we don't want to what? Yes, fuck up your bag. Amen. So today, Sam, I need a fake name.
Okay. Pauletta.
Pauletta. Oh, Pauletta definitely makes a good mac and cheese. She got a burn on one of her elbows.
She does stovetop and oven. You got to have both heats. Right. Oh. You got to have both heats.
Oh, she don't play. Mm-hmm. She don't play. Mm-hmm. Love that for her. So Pauletta says, and Pauletta, you were really talking, honey, so I'm going to have to edit down a little bit because I was like, Pauletta now, get to the things. You're scamming me out of a show. So it says, hi, Scam Goddess. A few months back, the guy that I was dating, already a scam,
Let's say George was living in a building owned by his brother Don, also a fake name. Okay, I should have actually asked you that, huh, first girl. So, Paulita says they had a pretty serious fire. Luckily, they and other folks in the building, no one was hurt. But it happened in the middle of the night and in the middle of the winter. As the firefighters were fighting and doing their thing, all the residents were outside figuring out what they needed to do. Nowhere to go. Cold, in pajamas or in boxers, stranded, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, in a distressful situation. So I'm trying to understand where the scam was here, because this just sounds very tragic, although, what happened, Paulita, but I am starting
although,
to...
I will say, whenever I hear tell of, like, an unexplained fire in the middle of the night, there's a good chance it's arson.
Really?
But let me not jump ahead.
I just think This Is Us. I think every fire is This Is Us.
The crock pot setting off the house. Yeah, I hear that.
If I was a volunteer firefighter, I'd come in, I'd be like, where's the crock pot?
Although, you know, crock pot had to issue a statement after that episode being like, we actually don't do this. They're actually quite safe, just so you know. I digress.
Nah. Crockpots, y'all got to sue. Don't sue NBC. Sue Mandy Moore directly.
Not
sue,
Mandy.
Sue the actor who played the dad
My
for ruining
Mandy's
your
a
life.
Mandy's a white girl. I feel like she has a cookout invite. I feel like she cares. I don't know her at all.
If I were y'all crockpot, y'all got to go against them negatively. I don't know. Get an air fryer in a TV show.
That's
just exploding.
Air fryer. Put your food in the oven.
Isn't that the crockpot's rival? Or is the sous vide the crockpot?
But then there was the Instapot. I don't know. I don't be cooking. I don't do that. I make eggs. Anyway, sorry.
That whole conversation made me sound like I be cooking, because I really just named so many brands. Wowzers. Meanwhile, Postmates is like, hey, sis. Time you come home tonight. Mm-hmm. We'll be waiting. So these people are waiting outside. They're wrapped in their blankets and they're distressed, right? They don't know what to do. While they were standing outside, a car with two other guys rolled up. These guys were unaffiliated with the local fire department, but at the time seemed like they were just simply good Samaritans. They brought everyone warm clothes, blankets, food, water.
How did they know to roll up?
I mean, they saw the fire.
I see fire. I don't go up with blankets.
See.
Anyway, sorry.
You see fire, you see tragedy. They see fire, they see opportunity. So they handing out blankets and, you know, arranging stuff or whatever. So while one guy was helping the other couple residents get their hotels up, the other guy was chatting with George, who was her boyfriend at the time, Paulita's boyfriend.
And we don't know yet who these guys are affiliated with.
No, we just know George, his boyfriend.
They came to, and these guys came to help.
What a web we lead. While one guy was helping the couple other residents get their hotels up, the other guy started chatting with my ex and his brother. And he basically said he and the other guy just go around doing this in their spare time. They listen to the local fire radio needs and the police scanners to find out where the fires are, and they go to locations to help people allegedly out of the goodness of their hearts.
Help them do what?
I mean, be cold,
I guess,
if,
like,
you know, you gotta, if you have, you haven't been in a house fire unless you sit in on the edge of the curb with the blanket.
Yeah, but actually,
who's gonna provide the blanket?
The firefighters?
They putting out the fire.
They got a crew, right? There's some like to help, and
there's not a blanket guy.
There needs to be. Firefighter.com, hope you're listening. Your workflow should include a blanket person.
A guy who's just there to do blankets.
Get you some grannies and aunties to come in the truck and be like, we got the blankies. We got some snacks.
Oh my God, that would be
Wouldn't
so,
be so
nice.
Cute.
What if, see, that's better than retirement homes. What
yes,
if we put
than
in
Walmart
our elderly,
greeters.
There's already hella oxygen
come on.
At the fire station. So we bring the elderly there and they just come along for the fires. And
yes.
They're like, come on, everything's going to be all right, baby.
Everyone loves firefighters because they are the one part of law enforcement that never has guns.
Right.
Everyone loves firefighters.
No one's ever like, he put me out.
Yeah. No. It's like, oh, nice guy. Kind of hot, too.
They used to have, you know, that's a good rebrand for them, because the firefighter calendar really did numbers for them, because they had to have been the ones hosing the black people in the 60s, because those weren't regular hoses. Those were not regular hoses.
Those were fire grade hoses. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They rehabilitated with the calendar. And
they
the...
did. I listen, you put a firefighter right here in this room, I'm saying what's up.
Listen, let's open a business, Sam. This is our business. It's an elderly home, but it's just we put old people in firehouses. Just one designated old person there.
We'll get shut down.
Okay.
I don't know. I like it hypothetically.
So I don't know if an old person showed up while I was having like an awful time. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, emotional support.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Anywho.
So these two dudes say we go around fire to fire to fire.
Yes,
helping.
Allegedly they go around helping people.
Okay.
So as they were talking, this guy also casually added that they know a company that does fire cleanup and restoration. So he tells him. That if he needs any help, and it would be way cheaper to go through that company than regular insurance.
No.
Because this company pays the deductible for you.
Oh, yeah, that sounds too good to be true.
So Don was obviously very distraught at the event, was very grateful, and told him that he'd get in touch with these people and ask for the number. The guy essentially said, I can do you one better. You're so stressed out. I'll call them right now. For you, King. And I'll take this whole task off your plate.
Oh, they're doing insurance fraud.
Yeah.
They are the equivalent of ambulance chasers, but fire chasers?
Fire chasers.
But even, wow. Okay, go ahead. I'm already mad.
That's the thing about scams. Anything can be a scam.
Anything can be a scam.
And why would, and this is a perfect warm-up. The worst thing just happened. Your home is gone.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, none of your loved ones are gone, but you're sitting out on this curb. And the blankets just appear in the movies like props.
Yeah.
But you never think about who's bringing,
the blankets. I will say, though, one part of like American society that is pretty effective at its job are insurance companies that deal with fire. They've been at it for a while.
Yeah.
And when you call the insurance company or if you own a building and you are filing a claim on an insurance policy for fire, you make the call. They really get it done for you. That's one thing that, like, they know how to do it. So I don't see the need for a middleman.
That's true.
You call your insurance company.
Because also insurance companies have to be the pettiest ones because fires can be accidents.
Oh, yeah.
But they have to try their hardest to figure out how it was not your fault.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can't buy a book of matches without the insurance company being like, bing.
And they'll always find out. One thing they can always figure out is how the fire started. Who, where, when, what, why. They're going to get to it. Which is why I would not want to complicate that process with a middle person. Man, woman.
Right. But I mean, if technically they may not be in the middle. They in the middle of you as a legitimacy.
Yeah.
But
I bet you. Okay, so go on. But I have some theories already.
I love a good theory, though. And I love to be surprised. So right now, Green has the ex-boyfriend has been approached by the blanket man. Do you know the blanket man? He comes out to the fires and he says, I got it. I got to do you one better, my guy. I can call the insurance place for you. So the guy calls the restoration company and conveniently, so many conveniences with this man. They were available right then and there. Right then. Ta-da!
The insurance company answered the phone at midnight.
It's like, what a, it's what? A State Farm. No, Jake, get the fuck up right now. Put your red polo on.
See, I miss the era of State Farm with Dennis Haysbert.
Oh,
remember him?
Oh, remember him.
The really classy uncle black guy.
No, that was 24. He did Allstate.
Shit.
I know about him. Are you in good hands? Oh, no, you can curse on this show.
I love
him. Realized.
I want him to be my insurance guy.
He was mine. I was in good hands, and then they dropped me. And everybody knows that.
I got that damn gecko. And
gecko's
fine, but you can't get excited about a gecko.
I would tell y'all what I got because it's actually hilarious, but then I feel like you might be able to find out stuff about me. So I can't tell you. I'll tell you off air. But anyways, we...
Back to it. I'm sorry. I am totally distracting you.
No. People love that part of the show. They do. So he conveniently calls the company and they pick up immediately. Hello, us. We're a legitimate company that picks up in the middle of the night. How can we help you? So to start this, they are going to start the assessment details and get the contract settled like right now. Fire still
that's
burning.
Never how it happens.
Ash.
Like, that's literally never how it happens.
Little pieces of ash blowing on your face.
They got to send the actuary out. They got to wait for the fire department's report. They got, like, there's a process.
Mm-mm. Describes, okay, y'all take a picture of the fire right now and text it to us.
This is fish. This is a catfish dinner.
Right.
Fishy.
Catfish dinner.
Wow.
Yes, because the service is a little too good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when it's a little too good, it may not be true.
Yeah.
So they made it seem
Like, it was super fine. They made it seem very super time sensitive and urgent, and he had to all sign it right there, like,
he
while they're still at the fire.
With the blanket on the curb?
Yes. Don understandably signed the contract.
No, not understandably, Don. Don!
You know how you do.
I don't know how I do.
You know how when you have a fire and then a strange man shows up.
I don't even sign the back of my credit cards. I don't sign nothing.
Sam. You're not listening to the facts, okay?
All right.
You had an unfortunate fire from a crock pot from This Is Us.
I love how This Is Us is still a part of the situation.
Because it is. And now, you're cold. You're cold and outside and embarrassed. You're wearing whatever you went to bed in, which you know you didn't give a fire look when you went to bed.
True.
So that night, you're wearing, like, boxers, but they got a little hole in them. They're white.
They're white.
They're ones you thought no one would ever see.
Wow. You know, men have period panties, too.
That's what I'm saying, but you out of your good pussy panties, okay? And all you got are your period panties that are worn out.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're out there, and you're vulnerable, and all your stuff is being burnt up in the flames. Think
about
that.
And some guy who pulled up with blankets says, no, it's good. Sign this.
Yes, that tracks.
Okay.
He showed up, he gave you a blanket, okay? You was the hoe with no blanket. Blanketless hoe.
Also, the question, hypothetical. If I know there's a fire and I got to get downstairs real quick, you do have 4 or 5 seconds where you think about what to bring with you,
yes.
Right? I'm wrapping myself in the bedspread.
What?
And coming down, because smoke, you cover yourself
okay.
while you go down.
Okay, you think about safety. I was like, I'm getting my Gucci's.
My.
At least I got some little resale value now, Chad. Something to pawn out here on these streets.
I need good shoes.
Yeah.
And a thick blanket.
Yeah.
And get me out of there. And maybe my phone.
Because if this is like apocalypse, then I'm definitely taking stuff I can barter with. So then I wouldn't care about
okay.
the labels and shoes and whatnot. Okay. But if it's just our fire, it's our house,
yeah.
I'm trying to.
Like if my house caught on fire tonight, I always have a pair of flip-flops next to the bed. Because earthquake culture taught me that. Have shoes, because
yeah.
if glass breaks, you don't want to walk on glass. So I got shoes. I'm taking my thickest blanket that's on the bed. The phone is right there. I'm getting out.
Okay, Dolly Parton said lipstick by the bed.
Oh.
She says, like, look like a bad bitch because if there's an apocalypse.
Listen, my dad always told me, wear clean underwear before you get on the plane and clean your house before you leave for an airplane flight.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. So I like that.
I like clean your house before an airplane flight, too.
Yeah.
I like to come home to a clean house. But I guess that could also be, like, something happened to you.
Anywho.
we're so dark. Anyway.
So they have he signed the form.
He signed everything like one does.
not so, this one, but.
If so facto, this is how people do. So then, in the coming days, the restoration contractors reached out to the tenants of the building, including George, and asked for their renter's insurance information. George was confused by this, since the actual cleaning and restorations would be going through Don's homeowner's insurance, since he...
Confused.
Confusing. Naturally confusing. Since he was the owner and not the tenants as individual renters. So that was very weird. But the company told them that they were just doing a standard process. And for them to be able to conduct the work with the individual apartments, they had to notify each tenant's respective renter's insurance company. So everyone gave them their renter's insurance information. And then the company does clean out the building and everyone's stuff and whatever was salvageable. Blah, 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 goes to storage.
Yeah.
Couple days later. However, all of the tenants received a bill conveniently for the exact price of their respective renter's insurance fire coverage amount, $15,000.
Let's see, the bill or a check?
Bill.
A bill. They each got a bill for 15 grand.
They had
from someone
fire.
That wasn't their insurance company or what? Who was it?
So they had a fire. Homeboy came with a blanket.
Yes.
He got everybody's respect because he was like, I'm the blanket man. That's
uh-huh.
Y'all should trust me.
Uh-huh.
So then he came up to one tenant who was her ex and was like, my guy signed this paperwork out here. I'll knock the ash off. All right,
yeah.
Sign it. Then he was like, you need to actually get all the tenants in the apartment
get
building.
Their info
too. They need to sign it,
so
too.
They all signed.
Yeah.
And then after that information was gathered, he ended up sending
them
a bill.
Then they all got it. Yeah, they got a bill.
From The guy with the blankets.
Yes.
Did any of them pay this bill?
So I'm curious about the bill right now. Everyone was led to believe that Don's insurance as the building's owner was supposed to cover this. So it was a big shock to everyone, including Don. And Don and Greenwood together, shout out to me names. The bills included a couple of seemingly legit charges, but a lot of bogus itemized charges that were like several hundred dollars each. All of the tenants' belongings at this point were in storage units, and the companies had added to that. So basically, now the companies are holding everyone's stuff until they receive payment.
Jesus.
So then, we don't have all the finer details here, but somehow they filed claims on all these people's insurance, took their money, and then also took hold of their stuff.
So by these tenants that night with the blankets signing whatever these guys told them to sign,
yeah,
they gave up some rights.
Yeah.
And now the driving, roaming blanket fraudsters have committed insurance fraud that has the tenant's stuff locked up until they pay the blanket guys?
And I think the insurance, the real insurance company has the tenant stuff locked up because they have to play the blanket guys.
Wow.
Because they all signed up to be scammed by the blanket guys.
They signed up to let the blanket guys be the intermediaries when they shouldn't have done that.
No.
Wow. Mm-hmm. People are awful.
Yeah.
People are awful.
Because, like, as much as that seems like an excellent opportunity to, to rob someone.
There's a special place in hell for the blanket guys.
The blanket guys are bad.
The blanket guys are low. Also, were I to scam, and I were to think of, like, what scam do I want to execute to make a fortune?
Yeah.
I would want to scam the Jeff Bezos and Elon Musks of the world.
Yeah.
Not people living in apartment buildings paying rent after a fire. Scam the people who
everyone
deserve
to
be scammed.
Everyone doesn't have access to Jeff Bezos. I don't know where he is from day to day.
Nor do I.
Who knows where he is? Someone tell us. I just want to talk.
Jeff, what's up?
Jeff, why are you, like, not hanging out with people? That's not cool.
Stop upping those Prime fees. I'm mad at that.
Jeff, like, well, you think you're better than me? Like, we can't hang out?
He does think he's better than us.
He does.
Although, I think right now, and this is another story, I think he's dating a scammer.
Truly.
Right.
Same. Because the way
she moves. She has a history, and she's been running through them. But you know what? Get yours.
You know, it's giving.
If I could, I would. That's what it's giving.
Like, yes. I would like to write. It's giving write the book so I can buy it and learn and then participate.
Yes.
Love that so much.
Did this story resolve?
I mean, let's see if it did. We got one more paragraph here. Gertrude, scam me of my damn show. We got to get to work. Okay, so just wanted to share this scam and spread the word since this was my first time hearing of some things like this. Again, I don't have all the finer details, but there was definitely something in the contract that Don signed that allowed this sketchiness to ensue. Last I heard, they are still holding John's belongings a full 8 months later. And from what I've gathered, some of the other tenants have been able to haggle the price down with the company to get their stuff back a bit cheaper instead of paying the full insurance payout amounts. Sounds like the company is just wanting to make any money at this point. Clearly, the original guys that were there to help were in cahoots and probably did get some sort of payout or referrals or something like that. George still refuses to pay the company anything because of the storage space, and I'm not dating him anymore. Good luck. Hope he gets his stuff back. I feel like you don't hope he gets his stuff back.
Yeah, she don't like him anyway.
I'm going to reach out on limits that you were like, George, well, bad things happen at bad people.
I will say the lesson here is, like, if you already have your own insurance, don't sign anything else until you've talked to them first. I feel like this is 101.
Yeah, I don't know. Did they bring you a blanket, though?
You're stuck on the blanket. You're stuck on the blanket. Fuck a blanket.
They had blankets. They had towels. They also had water and snacks.
Nah, bro. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I ain't signing shit. The Red Cross don't make you sign shit. That's
lucky the Red Cross got some scams that they own.
Well,
so.
They are. They're a very interesting kind of scam, but that's another story.
For another time. Yeah. But before another story, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements.
Run! Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might try to actually snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have an unemployed roommate at home? You know who I'm talking about. Children. Yes, Whitney said they are our future, and don't you want to invest in theirs? I know you want to set your children up for success. Maybe you want to save a little coin on private tutoring because we know that inflation is high and these wages are not getting higher, okay? Which is why I love IXL Learning. IXL Learning, it's an online program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. No more trying to scam your kids as you try to figure out their math equations and their homework. And you know you haven't seen a trapezoid in about 20 years, right? So let IXL help you out. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Scam Goddess listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/goddess. Visit IXL.com/goddess to get the most effective learning program out there for the best price.
And fraud! And we are and it's time for Historic Hoodwinks. It's my favorite part of the show.
Love
this is where
it.
I regale Sam with the famous Connor Caper, and we just get his opinions throughout. We kind of telegraphed it a little bit earlier, but today we're talking about a bishop most known for his friendship with the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, was robbed during a live stream of his sermon this past July. However, with much as $1 million... and jewelry potentially missing, news stories are coming to light regarding the bishop's past and supposed truth of the crime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have been loving following this story. I also love how this story has sucked everybody in. Like, the New York Times had, like, 1,000 words on this the other day. And they're just, like, deep into this man's criminal history. And it's one of those things where it could have just gone under the radar. Could have just been a Black Twitter thing. But everyone's like, oh, no. There's meat on these bones. Let's go.
Let's go. And I kind of hate that because
I love it.
As a Black Twitter thing, it's fun and it's niche and it's specific. And then when it turns into a The Cut article, it's just like y'all are missing so much of the hilarious nuance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're not a part of the culture.
You don't understand the Black Church. Like, you just don't get it.
Like, if you can't write a reference to who drank my juice in the hood for this, you shouldn't be. Well, don't it. Like, he was literally that guy.
Yeah. Well, also, it's like any of us that have grown up in the Black church, you see one image of that man and you know it's a scam.
Yeah.
Like, my general theory on members of the Black clergy, if you are on a pulpit and there is any major label signage on your person, you're a scam.
Yeah.
If you got Gucci, Louis, Prada,
how you wearing
Fendi,
a full
anything
Fendi track
on
suit?
You.
Talking about, I need a tithe.
You're
talk
fraudulent.
About the meek will inherit the earth.
Yeah, you're fraudulent. You're fraudulent. I'm sorry. And so, like, to read these white news outlets cover this story and, like, have to lay out the case for how he was a fraud, I'm like, Black Twitter saw him and knew he was a fraud.
Yeah, like, we gave you all the information you needed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just, if you have a Jesus peace, you should not be pastoring.
If you have a Jesus peace, you should never know peace because you're a fraud.
If God told you opening up your car doors like this, like this with the arm in the air, if you reach for God when you open up your car door,
you ain't right.
You ain't right.
And you shall not pass through the gates of heaven.
Absolutely not. Oh, but I love it, though. Oh.
It is. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And he's also not backing down. He's just.
And I love that for him. We love a gaslighting, lying king. Stick to your story. We love a shaggy moment. It wasn't me. Okay? I don't care if you got me in 4K. So on July 24th, the Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministries, lots of names for that church, love it, based in Brooklyn, New York, was robbed by three masked men. And there's a video clip of the robbery, and they were robbed during a live stream sermon. And we have a clip of that, which I'm sure you've seen, Sam, but
let's give it another go. Let's play it again.
Yo. All right.
Okay.
As Bishop Lamar Whitehead delivered his sermon inside his church in Canarsie, the Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministries, police say three masked, armed men burst in and stole $1 million worth of jewelry, including a Rolex.
$1 million worth of, if you have a million, you...
The church's live stream.
They said, we lift our hands in the sanctuary. And if you make a move, we shooting at thee. Yes.
And we shall rob you for the rest of your days.
Yes. Yes, Lord. For the rest of your days. Yes.
Also, just like, if you have $1 million worth of jewelry on your person, everybody in your church better have their rent paid, their lights on, and their children fed.
Yeah.
I grew up in the kind of church where if there were folks in the church who were like hungry or going through it, you give them something. The church would take an offering for those doing the worst to help them out.
Yeah.
And it feels
your
like
love offering, your benevolence offering.
Yes.
Yeah.
And him having that much jewelry on his person makes me think his church is not doing that kind of work.
Yeah. But, and I think he obviously uses the facade of like, oh, no, it's my real estate. It's my other things. Like, I just preach God for funsies because I want to tell him about like how good he's been for me. That's just it. And it's like, no. Oh, yeah. This is a complete write off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't have to pay taxes. Crazy.
It's a fraud.
But like, yeah, no, it's an absolute fraud. Also, the way that he got down to the ground when the robbers came
like
in.
It's almost like he knew.
Yeah. And when it's also like not very godly.
No. When I first saw it, I was like, is this an inside job?
I thought that too, because homeboy, there's a guy sitting in the corner. We'll put the video on the Instagram, guys. There's a guy sitting in the corner who's like really minded his business. Now, if I'm in a robbery, I'm not going to be doing too many hoopings and hollerings, but I'm at least get low. He was just sitting erect,
like,
they doing another robbery. Oh, is that a 38? They putting the money in the bag. Don't put the dot packs in, y'all. Yeah. All right.
No, it's hella sus. I'm also seeing this still now of his. Is that Gucci?
It's a Gucci. It's a yellow.
A yellow Gucci print head to toe suit with, I think, Gucci loafers. And you know what? For all that money on his clothes, the church itself doesn't look that great.
Yeah, because it's all going his gator boots and pimped out Gucci suits. Because the church looks like, you know, a Courtyard Marriott.
The breakfast buffet room.
Yes.
It's a breakfast buffet room.
Where they have the breakfast buffets. It's giving they just rolled away the buffet tray and the
waffle
maker.
It's giving that waffle line I can never work.
Yeah.
I can never work that thing. I can never work it.
And yeah, it's giving you get a plastic cup and you got to pump the waffle goo into it. It's giving that's like right in the corner.
Yeah. The lighting is horrible.
Yeah, it's giving bagels, but no bagel toaster, just... that little Philly cream cheese.
So the robbery happens. Do they find anybody? Do they get anything back?
According to Bishop Lamar Whitehead, the leader of the ministry, the robbers took jewelry from him and his wife, totaling in a value as high as $1 million. You know how you wear $1 million of jewelry to the gym.
You know.
Or to the church. That seems wise.
Mm-hmm.
The jewelry taken included a $75,000 Rolex watch, a $75,000 Cavalier watch, a $25,000 Episcopal ruby and diamond ring, a $25,000 Episcopal diamond ring, and several other gym pieces. Why are you dressed like Mr. fucking Magoo?
Also, don't roll up in Brooklyn with that much shit on you, bro. You're asking for it.
Yeah, like I feel like that could have happened anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I might try to rob you at Trader Joe's.
I see you in the Whole Foods line. It's on, bro. You got that much on you? Give it to me.
Put the... Drop the patchouli, bitch.
Not the patchouli.
It's a fucking stick up.
Well, also, this is the difference between old money and new money. Real old money, folks that know how to be rich, they'll have shit that is expensive as fuck on them. And if you and like, unless you're as rich as they are, you won't know.
Which is a flex to people who are as rich as they
exactly.
are. But still, yes.
I want one day that kind of wealth.
Right, where you're wearing a white t-shirt. It's
and you're like, oh, but this white t-shirt, baby.
Yeah. No, this is a $5 million white t-shirt.
Yeah, I don't need to do that full body Gucci suit wealth. That is
I am a little bit of a label whore. I want it all.
Okay.
I want a full body Gucci suit.
Okay.
And then I want to be wearing the necklace of the Titanic underneath it.
Listen, watch where you're walking and what you're talking.
No, don't be in the sanctuary.
Not that one.
Okay. They was trying to get a glory. They was trying to get the girls. I can't. Yeah, I'm sorry. That robbery looked hella staged to me. Also, just the way he got down when they were getting robbed. But it wasn't very godly also. I feel like if I'm getting robbed, like it should be like, now, come on, my brother. What's taking you through life to get you here, king? Look into the light.
You start praying. As soon as someone comes in your church and you're on the pulpit and they're trying to do some shit, Jesus. That's what I'm doing. Father God, throw the bottle of blessed oil at them.
Right.
Get them in the name. You got a tambourine? Throw it.
He was giving Rob like he was like on the block. Like, you know, it was given very much like power ghost book of crack four.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Hey, my man.
He was not of God in that situation.
No, that was not a. I've seen people get robbed more godly than that. I'm just going to say.
I agree. There is a godly way to get robbed. There is a godly way to get robbed.
Yeah. This ain't it. So the thieves escaped outside on Resmond Avenue and have yet to be found. Curious.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, Bishop White had reenacted the robbery twice, dressed in a bandana yellow Gucci suit. Yes.
Pause.
Okay.
Twice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Twice.
Mm-hmm. Reenactment.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why?
The question we may never know.
Never know.
Okay. Why is the sky blue? You know, there's some things that are just going to perplex us. So, with Bishop Whitehead seemingly unfazed and continued to flash his expensive wardrobe, questions began popping up about the robbery. Why would a preacher with a tiny congregation preaching in a tiny space above a Haitian restaurant have potentially $1 million in jewelry on his person?
Stop. I didn't know this church was above a Haitian restaurant.
Yes.
So you got all this money for jewelry. You can't get a real building? My dog.
I mean, but you know how churches would be in there, like areas like that in Brooklyn or
even in
L.A.
Space is tight.
Yeah.
I know, but still.
It'll be like at the retail place where you like walk up in a nail salon and you just hear, Jesus.
See, I grew up in Texas with freestanding churches.
Okay, same.
All right.
I've passed a lot of, bodega churches.
Bodega churches, yes. Where are you from?
I'm from Dallas.
Oh, San Antonio.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. What have we doing down there? River walking?
Yes, we do. eating our tacos, drinking our beer, river walking.
And river walking.
River walking, river talking.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah. And I'm from Frisco. I can say that now because the Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we used to be going by there thinking about winning one day, you know.
Well, I remember being young in the heyday of the Cowboys, Aikman, Emmitt Smith and them. They were like America's team.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we are
more than
still America's team. Anyways.
We digress.
So they was above a Haitian restaurant.
I love you, Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith.
So they were above this Haitian restaurant, which is also hilarious to me because I know it was hot over there. It was not giving AC, and it's just like you're smelling.
Also, you know who would have stopped the robbers?
The Haitian
restaurant staffers. I feel like maybe.
I don't know. they might have been one of them. So why was his reaction during the robbery and fast reflexes so planned looking?
He also, as a leader of that church, took no action to protect his
anybody
membership.
In the church.
It was just him, taking care of him.
And above all, was all the jewelry insured?
Was all the jewelry actually worth $1 million, like he's saying? Also.
And was it, that's another one. So, but if it's insured, then the worth would be proven.
Yes.
So, all the same time, more was coming out about his past, and many discovered that he owed hundreds of thousands of dollars to many people, including more than $400,000 to a construction company that built his $1.64 million New Jersey house. As it turns out, the Bishop of Bling might be a much bigger thief. So, he got a $1.2 million house, and then the congregation has to come do praise and worship over a Haitian restaurant. Listen,
he's also like been in jail for like some financial crimes, right? Was there like an identity theft or something? I want to say that, like, I was reading one of these articles, they're like, oh, yeah, he got locked up for, like, identity theft or some kind of fraud before.
So Lamar Miller Whitehead grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Lamar is the bishop.
Okay.
We're just going to call
him Gucci. Bishop. Bishop Gucci.
Oh.
Brother Gooch.
Burr. Yes. Amen. Bishop Gucci. Grew up in Brooklyn, New York. His father was Arthur Miller, a man murdered by police officers in 1978 when he attempted to defuse a situation between the officers and an unrelated motorist. His death led to several protests and marches on City Hall. At the time, Lamar was just a baby, and Lamar is Bishop Gucci. As an adult, Bishop Gucci also studied accounting and videography at the Eastern New Mexico University before returning to Brooklyn to work as a mortgage broker in Manhattan. But his path to success would soon take a left turn to a different kind of life. Oh, not your life being like skirt, skirt. In 2005, a woman filed a report with the Suffolk County Police saying someone had used her personal information to purchase a motorcycle in Brooklyn in her name. Huh. A few days later, the motorcycle was found with a 27-year-old Bishop Gucci riding it.
Stop.
I won't lie. When I first started reading that sentence and it said a woman reported, I was like, oh no, Bishop Gucci, don't be no beater or abuser. Yeah. And then it said stole her motorcycle.
I'm like, I'm okay with that.
I was like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, no. Yeah, okay. Who among us? I too want a motorcycle.
Right. How am I going to get it?
Yeah,
if I don't have a card, I take some ladies' card. It sounds good to me.
Right.
But I was relieved. I was like, oh, he's a good guy.
Could be worse.
He's a good guy. So during the following investigation, police found a much wider web of identity theft and deception.
That's what I thought. Deception. Because I saw, the Times, when they went deep on this guy, it was like, oh, yeah, he's an identity thief.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, the Lord can save anybody, but odds are an identity thief don't really want to be saved.
I mean,
I'm just saying now.
You do save a lot of money when you do identity theft.
How do you speak? Are you speaking from expertise? What's happening?
I'm speaking logically. If I'm stealing all my money from identity theft, then I am saving a lot of my own personal money by using others, by pretending to be them.
You know what the real scam is? He did all this identity thieving, and then he got to go to prison for free. Free roof over his head.
So,
meals every
day.
So
who really got scammed?
Who really won?
Also, what is robbery but like borrowing?
Redistribution of wealth.
Yes.
There we go.
So during the following investigation, now they're going to start finding all this stuff. He was using personal information stolen from his girlfriend's computer. Bishop Gucci stole the identities of at least a dozen people in order to take out loans to buy cars. I can't believe this. And motorcycles. The subsequent trial took place. It took months of preparation first. But instead of working on his case while they're like, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, they pulled up and like, Bishop Gucci, it's over for you. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Can we get the usher board to usher Mr. Gucci the fuck up out of here? Yeah.
What song would they play while they march him out?
Oh, God.
Oh, when the saints go march, not even
no,
in the
No, doesn't
saints,
it have to be, we fall down, but get up.
Because that song can go as long as you need it to.
Yep.
12 minutes.
And it's motivational for if you're a criminal, then you'd be like, for a saint is just a sinner. So he's low-key still being passive aggressive. He's
true.
Like, for a saint is just a sinner, bitch, all
look
y'all.
Look at me, at me, the Lord saves.
If I'm not a saint, you're not a saint. That's definitely the song that he gets kicked out of church to.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. So, yeah, he gets kicked out of church doing this fraud, blah, 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 blah. So he's doing the money laundering. He's stealing. He's got a 4-year run for fraud. It basically comes to a halt in around 2006 when he files for bankruptcy. In 2008, he was finally convicted of 17 counts of identity theft.
17.
And sentenced to 10 to 30 years in prison.
Well, he didn't serve 30.
No.
The Lord smiled upon him. And
amen.
That way at
least. He said, I didn't go to prison. I went to connect directly to God's most in
need. I was trying
to
save the prisoners, y'all. I went in to minister.
Sound like y'all too good to spread God's word. What it sound like to me. Sound like y'all don't want to come on A block.
And but Bishop Gucci goes where the need is. He saw a need in the prison.
If he came out and gave that sermon,
I would send me. I'm like, okay.
I'd be like, yeah, Bishop Gucci, yeah, save them, save them. So he was sentenced to this time in prison. He served for the lawsuit brought by Maestro Maximo's serving sentence was like Sing Sing. Oh, my gosh. He had to serve in Sing Sing Correctional Facility. Wow. So Lamar, a.k.a. Bishop Gucci, was ending his time in jail in July 2013 on good behavior, having had used a lot of his time in jail to thoroughly study the Bible and seemingly find God. So he then also took his godliness around prison. So
witnessing to the saints.
Mm-hmm. And probably preaching.
Okay.
I imagine his parole hearing was very lit.
Oh, you know he was testifying. He was in there.
And now I have something on my soul.
Hallelujah.
Can I clank these handcuffs together? Is that? No. Okay. Okay.
Like a tambourine with the handcuffs. Like, hallelujah.
Right. He's got the tambourine handcuffs. Oh, I'm going to hell for that. But, you know, he done got everybody to get him out of prison. He excited. I'm here for him and all of this. So several weeks later, Leaders of Tomorrow Ministry was born. Several weeks. He wasted
no time.
So with a congregation of 43 people.
Listen.
Wow.
Where two or three saints are gathered in the midst. Hallelujah.
Right. That's all you need.
Yeah.
And these people seemingly met him at his home just for Bible study, but he was like, nah, this a church.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that they were meeting for Bible study.
No, y'all were meeting for his tax-exempt status. That's what y'all were meeting for.
He was like, hey, y'all, can y'all just sign here that y'all read the Bible this week? That's all.
Thank you. Sign it twice even, maybe.
Why not? Right. So in a recent interview, Bishop Gucci said, regarding his new path, I have a calling and I had to do what I had to do. As soon as I came home, it was on.
Wow.
You know how God be talking like that. Like
God be like, yeah, it's on, bro.
No, it's on, bro. Sunday.
I'm about
Sunday?
To heal some sick. I'm about to raise some dead. I'm about to make some fishes and loaves, my dog.
Sunday, turn up.
Yo,
y'all sipping over water. Y'all sipping on water over here. We got this wine.
We're speaking these tongues, bruh. Get up on that. I like this.
That's a good one. Hey, y'all been singing in tongues, bruh. But you on. I got your bitch washing my feet, son. With her hair. What's good? Oh, God. Was Jesus rapping
Call my girl
sometime?
Mary Magdalene.
Okay. Streets know.
She got that lean. I'm going
to
stop.
I got we have to stop. And I have one more.
Do it.
Dick so good, I don't even touch her, she get pregnant. Boo, I should have quit while I was at.
Virgin birth, my dog. Virgin birth.
Clean it up for me, Sam. Clean it up.
I like it. I like it dirty. I like it dirty.
Nutted in her with my mind. Oh, God. How did we get here?
Let's stay here. I like it. It's a good place to be.
So, Lord Jesus, we're getting to the end of this. The bling bishop. So we've seen his criminal past. He was out here doing all types of fraud, buying whips, buying jewelry, et cetera, et cetera. So now he's emerged from that past. Or he now has a church, which is unsuspecting people Mm-hmm. They thought they were going to a Bible study, which I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start doing Bunko Night weekly.
I'll go.
And I'm going to have everyone sign up. Yeah, and we're going to play games and drink wine. But it is a church.
Yes.
You'll never know it.
Sign me up.
No one said we had to talk about God. We just had to assemble, right?
There you go. There
like,
you
Lizzie
go. We'll
really
get the aura of God. The number of God.
She really loves steeples now. She like bought a house with a steeple.
It's beautiful.
That's my decor choice now because I want a part of this. So he is the bishop now. He has this small little church. At the end of his sermons, the bishop, we call Bishop Gucci Whitehead, is also known to run an auction of donations, inviting members to sow with their tithes, starting at $1,000 or $500.
An auction?
Yes.
An auction.
Yes.
Now, if you one of the few
an auction of donations.
Well, so, how does that work?
So that's when you yell out a donation amount.
So one member gives the can of soup to the church, and then the pastor has other folks bid on the can of soup? Is it that kind of situation?
Okay, so let me try to run this out. Though the people, you know, were critical about the wealth that he displays, his supporters supported his preaching, the prosperity gospel, a philosophy that emphasizes the material benefits of maintaining a relationship with God. So his big thing is like, if you love God,
you'll be prosperous.
Yeah, God gonna give you a rack or a boat, you know?
Or a full body Gucci suit in
or
yellow.
A full body Gucci suit in yellow. So at the end of the sermon, he's like, all right, y'all, it's time for us to get our relationship closer with God. So everybody, y'all need to sow your tithes to get your relationship closer. So then people start tithing at $1,500. When no one takes an envelope, he suggests less until someone comes forward.
Huh.
So he got envelopes like this.
Yeah.
And he writes outside of the envelope, $1,000.
And he's like, can I get a 1,000? Can I get
and
a 1,000?
And he holds it up and he says, can I get a 1,000 for God? This is an empty envelope. Will you put $1,000 inside of it for me now? For God.
This is why I'm so mad about it. And it's funny, but I'm mad. The definition of tithing biblically is just 10%. Just 10%.
Yeah.
You make $1,000 or $100,000. 10%, and then you should be good.
But are you trying to get your money up with God? Because with God.
I'm not. Give me some money, Jesus.
That ain't how it work, cuz. If you want money from Jesus, you got to invest and tell six of your friends.
Wow, that's some Herbalife shit. This is a pyramid scheme.
So he holds up the $1,000 envelope, and then when nobody responds, he's like, hello?
Maybe $500.
All right, $500. $500. Come on, y'all playing.
That is so sad.
Y'all don't want good things to happen
that
in your life?
That is so sad.
And he goes down. And so apparently he would do this until whatever amount of money made someone come up and sow into their tithes. So it's unclear exactly where these donations go, but Bishop Whitehead says he does not make money as a bishop.
Then where do yellow Gucci head to toe suit come from?
Probably still fraud. He's like, look, guys, I do whip. Fraud. I don't have to steal from the Lord when I can steal from y'all. Y'all not God. I ain't never once took something from God.
Took his name in vain. Tell you that.
So I just love auctioning the opportunity to give someone else money. And
that is
I'm
a scam.
Going to do that now. I'm going to figure out a way to do it myself personally because I deserve that.
You deserve that.
Who wants to give me money? Who out there wants to be the lucky person?
What's your starting amount? What's your starting figure?
Oh my God, my starting figure? I got to start at $1,000,000.
Oh. I'm sitting there thinking, what would I start at? And be like, oh, an Uber Eats gift card? I don't know.
Oh, you're starting way too low, Sam. You're starting way too low. And look, I don't think I'm going to get $1,000,000, but if I don't try.
Dream big. Dream big.
Right?
I hear you. Yeah.
What do you say, guys, to the chance of giving me $1,000,000? That's it, though.
We're watching the team in the control room shrug their shoulders.
Wow. None of y'all? Wow. That hurts my feeling, honestly. I'm hurt. Y'all don't think I'm worth $1,000,000? You don't want to auction the opportunity to give it to me?
I mean, every human is priceless. Existentially.
I mean, the government says we're worth like $10 million each.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, I mean, yeah. So it's likely unclear what these donations go. However, he does make money. He doesn't seem to be doing it very well. In 2019, there was a $68,000 lawsuit brought against him for not making monthly payments on his Mercedes-Benz and Range Rover in New Jersey.
And Range Rover.
Because, you know, if you can't afford one really expensive car, you have to get another.
Well, there's one for you and there's one for Jesus, right?
Right. And he takes the wheel. We have songs.
Jesus will take the wheel, but he will not pay the car note.
Yeah, what's up with that? What's up with that, Jesus?
Come on, Jesus.
I said I would take the wheel. I never said I was taking responsibility. That's why y'all don't listen. Uh-huh. That's why I'm not coming back. So the same year, a $164,000 check was written to the company that built his Paramus, New Jersey home, and it bounced. In 2020, a woman named Pauline Anderson had connected with the Bishop Whitehead, aka Pastor Gucci. She was a parishioner and was still recovering from a life-threatening surgery. Eventually, Pauline went to the bishop for assistance and she went to the bishop and looks to get help to buy a new home because she had bad credit. He said he would help her invest her money, all $90,000 from her retirement fund.
No.
Mm-hmm. And his firm, Laymore Whitehead, a.k.a. Bishop Gucci.
Bishop Gucci.
Bishop Gang Gang Incorporated. She was initially reluctant as this was her only income, but Bishop Gucci offered to send her $100 in a monthly allowance while he found her a home.
A monthly allowance of $100 from the guy who brought you the $1,000 auction in the church house?
So, yeah.
Whole catfish dinner. Fishy.
The first payment was made, but then Bishop Whitehill disappeared and did not continue.
He couldn't even give her $100 a month.
You could have gave her $100 a month.
$100 a month. This makes me mad.
He's not a good
person. This makes me mad. And it's like, anyways, go ahead.
Eventually, he told Pauline that he was treating her as an... this isn't even me not being able to read it. It's just a very funny thing to tell someone. What is it? So, eventually, Bishop Gucci told Pauline that he was treating her investment as a donation to his...
That's not how it works, my dog. No.
I will be treating all of my investments as a donation from here on out.
That's a donation.
If you give me anything...
Student loans, that money y'all lent me, that was a donation.
Right. This sweater that you let me borrow last night, it was a donation.
American Express?
A donation.
That was a donation.
Like, bitch, how you gonna reframe the narrative?
Wow.
So at the same time, so then he's talking about I'm running for president. So
of what?
He just said for a little dazzle dazzle, and that's why he's keeping Pauline's donation and why she can't even have $100.
Wow.
Oh, I feel so bad. So at the same time, the bishop also wanted to send Pauline. Now, Pauline's the one who got robbed.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to send her son a contract detailing that he was about to buy a $4.4 million house in New Jersey with a pool and a gym and a cellar, and the sale had never went through. So he had gassed up her whole family, basically, because he's, like, sending her son,
see,
like,
church
being
folks.
Like, look, he was like, I'm gonna buy this house. Look up, there's the house.
Oh.
He was like, I'm about
to
cop this
house.
I have all this money. Like, she should invest with me. I'm going to give her. He didn't even Ponzi scheme her good. Like, he gave her one payment of the Ponzi scheme and then stole the rest.
God. Church folks, y'all got to do better. You got to be on the lookout.
It's a cult, y'all. Come on. In December 2021, he borrowed $4.1 million from a Brooklyn mortgage company.
Who gave him a loan? He had just declared bankruptcy and was it 07? I guess that stuff scrubs off in 7 years.
Yeah, but I don't think it had been that long. I can't. So, wrapping this up, in January 2021, he posted Facebook videos in front of an apartment complex offering real estate classes and signing up through the church email address. And there is no website for Whitehead Estates, even though that's what he's talking about. Don't be on the internet looking for...
Can't find him. You can't find it. Wow.
Don't ask. Okay.
My heart goes out for these church folks.
And this is the video. We have a snippet of it.
Oh,
it's short.
What is this?
But it's really painful. Can we zoom
Whitehead
in?
Whitehead Estates Real Estate.
Because he's like with this other man.
Let's see.
This is the one that I saw. It's pretty dead. Oh, so this is him showing his estates that he doesn't own.
And that's a Lambo SUV.
Yes. That one owns, you know.
Oh, he don't own that. You know he don't own that. Did he just rev it up as he parked?
You know how you rev it.
Yeah, we back. Bishop Whitehead, y'all.
Y'all see Whitehead Estates? Listen, I'm telling y'all, join my real estate class.
Oh, my God.
It started February the 5th.
Oh.
I'm going to show you how to buy and flip, how to buy complexes, yeah. apartment complexes, renovating.
You know, last I checked, the Bible said the primary concern of housing should be housing the homeless, not flipping the house.
Christ. Follow me.
All right, but we're going to flip it to some home, some follow homeless people.
Or make some people homeless in the process. Wow. Yes. Okay, here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do people get played by that kind of tomfoolery?
Because of aspirational culture.
Yeah.
You look at him and he's showing you the life you want to have and he's telling you he knows how to do it.
See, but we look at the wrong stuff. They're looking at Gucci suits and Lambo SUVs. What I want to see, your credit score, your credit report.
But listen, a
background check.
Now, credit scores.
Credit can be a scam. I get that.
You know, they came about in 1989. Yeah. And who made those up? And for what benefit? To keep us all in debt.
But it would have been a red flag because you know his score is negative 12.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Negative 12.
It's honestly a red flag for me anytime I see people holding lots of cash in photos. Because I'm either like, you are taking pictures with cash because you don't see cash that often. And you're like, I got to commemorate this moment.
All this to say, this man is screaming red flags.
Or you can't put your cash in any institutions because it's going to set off several federal alarms.
Uh-huh. That's, you know, is there a moral to the story besides watch out, y'all don't get played?
I mean, he's still out here. So, meanwhile, the bishop has continued to live stream his services, including the service where he was robbed on live stream. Because you know how you be getting robbed on live stream. Like, as soon as you set up your camera, then all of a sudden you get robbed. And he maintains that everybody sues people from here on out. It is what it is. My church was robbed. I was robbed. I'm the victim. So, he's saying when it came out the woodwork that he was being sued by the girlies for taking their investments and making them donations.
Just fraud.
He's like, everybody gets sued every now and then and makes investments donations.
Everybody.
He's like, I'm the victim. It's like, I don't know. I think that you have to be quiet because when you're playing this game, sometimes you're the mark and sometimes you're, you know, the scammer. So
sometimes you're getting scammed and sometimes you're wearing the full body yellow Gucci suit.
Yeah, like take out the chin, my guy. Charge it to the game. Amen. Well, guys, we are here. We've arrived at the saddest part of the show.
Saddest part of the show? Oh, I know. This is really fun.
We have to let Sam go. But before we let you go, we just like to highlight one person who we love or maybe we hate. Mm-hmm. Scammer of the week.
Mm.
And this week, that is y'all. Y'all done been, and Sam, I already know you gonna know. Y'all have been on the TikToks, the Instagrams, all the DMs, sending carrier pigeons to let me know about Chef P and her pink sauce.
Pink sauce. You know what? I wanted to feel really, well, first set it up.
On TikTok, which is a place where you can learn all types of things and also spreads a ton of misinformation, there was a woman who took the world by storm named Chef P. She created a dark pink sauce that instantly went viral as she dipped it into all your favorite fast food. Honestly, she dipped the sauce into any goddamn thing. And one time I saw her dip it into a burrito taco. But Taco Bell, KFC, anywhere.
And like it looks like Pepto-Bismol, but it's a savory sauce almost in the aioli family.
So she uses dragon fruit, which everybody knows, and I've said this time and time, a fucking dragon fruit, you're a fucking scam, you're way too expensive, you don't taste like shit, you're just in here being a bad bitch and not contributing anything to society. So she uses that color to get that really bright pink, but it doesn't really add like a distinctive flavor.
So it's like any other sauce, but it's pink.
Yes.
And like that is okay. You're making pink sauce in your house. You eat it. You like it. That's okay. I think the scam came about when her TikToks blew up and she wanted to sell it everywhere.
Yes.
Had no such infrastructure.
No.
And turns out when she began to bottle the pink sauce, every bottle was a different kind of pink.
Yes, there was not much quality control coming out of her literal kitchen. Also, she was not adding any ice packs or dry ice to send out a content or a sauce that definitely contains dairy.
So it came to people's
in the middle
like
of record heat.
And apparently the nutritional facts, which you're showing up here on the screen, were just wrong.
So this was a nutritional fact that we talk about on the show a lot. You got to know Photoshop. Photoshop, guys. She went directly to Pinterest. And no, this is literally from Pinterest. And she got the template, the nutrition facts template. No. And then she decided to just give it a little dazzle dazzle. There's some typos. Instead of vinegar, her sauce apparently has vinegar.
Listen, so I don't know. Like that. Vinegar? Like that.
What's up, my vinegar? I don't know. That might taste different.
You know?
I might need to know what that's about.
Here's my thing with it, though. Had she just kept it small scale and sold it, like, at the cookout in her town or sold it, like, at the little county fair, I'm fine with that. The problem was trying to scale. If you're going to scale, it has to be legit. It has to be for real. It has to go through the quality control. She didn't know how to scale, so I almost feel like she got caught up and was in over her head. That said, she reacted in the definitively wrong way.
No, absolutely not. I mean, so she... The ingredient labels say she has pink Himalayan sea salt, which in itself is not a thing because Himalayan salt, I believe, comes like from rocks, like on the ground. It's not distilled from the water.
Yeah.
If I'm not wrong about that. Citric acid, milk, and vinegar. We already talked about that. In regards to its taste, though the creator herself has said she has difficulty describing it, she says, some users have said it's a little sweet, it's a little tangy, it's a little garlicky. She's selling these at $20 a pop, and customers have raised several concerns regarding what we were just talking about, the quality and the safety of the product. It's been shipped unrefrigerated with inconsistent colors, non-existent expiration dates. It's said to contain milk and raw garlic, which unrefrigerated,
that's not a good situation,
without an expiration date causes botulism. There's also major inconsistencies we talked about with the color. Also, some people getting that thicky thick, they getting that thick, and then other bottles are getting that watery, they getting that water. I hate that I can do that with two different songs.
I love it.
Some people like, I got that water, and it's like, what is going on? Additionally, the nutrition label says the bottle contained 444 servings of salt.
That's impossible.
Angel numbers. And 90 calories a serving.
So thousands of calories in these bottles.
Yes.
And also, spoiled milk and garlic.
Yes. And it should also be a much larger bottle. We have an unboxing here of a pink sauce.
I like the labeling.
The labeling is cute.
It's cute.
And here's the thing, it's TikTok. Everybody wants to participate in a trend. Everyone has FOMO.
It's
the pink sauce
color.
Lady took advantage of that.
This is the thing. If I were her, wait until a brand sees your idea, partner with like Nabisco, and let them scale you.
Yeah. I think she still has a chance here. She had great marketing.
I don't think she has a chance.
She says, I can't describe the taste because literally nobody has ever made anything that tastes like this before,
someone,
which is amazing.
Someone else is going to have to make the pink sauce.
Someone has to. Because that's the thing. If you tell me about a sauce and you can't tell me what it tastes like, people are going to buy it out of curiosity.
I'm intrigued.
Because if you like if you don't like mayo, then I'm immediately not going to be a customer. But if you tell me something like, oh, it just tastes like good.
Yeah.
It just tastes good.
Well, this is the thing about all sauces that aren't hot sauce or ketchup. They're either ranch dressing or some kind of mayo.
Exactly.
That's really what it is.
It is.
So tell us what it is. You added food coloring. You know, that's what it is.
Miss Pink Sauce Lady, you know, I love scammers. I really do. I think you have a lot of potential here. I just want you to clean up the form a little bit, okay? Make something that's not going to kill people.
Yeah.
Get some real labels. I'm rooting for you, Pink Sauce Girl. I want to see you on Shark Tank.
I'm not rooting for her. I mean, I hope she's okay, but there is no rooter in my tutor for her. It's not there.
Well, look, you're allowed to have that opinion, Sam. And we always ask on this show, where would you like to be found? What do you want people to listen to? Where do you see you on social?
Yeah.
All those things.
On Twitter, I am at Sam Sanders, SamSanders. Same for Instagram, at Sam Sanders. And I host two podcasts that you can get anywhere. My podcast from Vulture and New York Magazine publishes every Thursday. It is a weekly pop culture show about the pop culture we're obsessed with. My other show with my good friends Zach and Saeed, it's called Vibe Check, and that publishes every Wednesday, and that is our very fun group chat come to life. We cover any and everything. So you can hear me on Wednesdays and Thursdays and see my bad tweets any day of the week.
You have such a great voice, Sam.
Oh, that was so good. I really enjoyed vibing with the fellow Texan today. This was delightful. Yes. Thank you. Your energy is infectious. I loved this.
So is yours. Woo, because I need to sub today.
They give you a lot of copy.
And guys, as always, snitch on your friends and family at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. And if you want to find me and my shenanigans, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I-Diva, Lacey on all platforms. Congregation, stay scheming.
Hallelujah.
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. It's produced by Judith Cargbo, engineered by Marina Faiz, and researched by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.